Hey, this is April 1st, and the topic is joy. It's April Fool's Day, but no, it's joy. It really is. It's joy. It is really joy.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I behold you through the eyes of love, you radiant beings, you gods and goddesses. I hope that you people are doing that, not only for yourselves, but when you see other people, are you holding them through the eyes of love? Are you seeing them as gods in the making? Are you seeing the divinity within them? Or are you just seeing people? You see, you have to come to that conclusion, regardless of what anyone is doing. Inside of them is that divinity. It cannot be anything but that, because that's all there is. So you have to be able to recognize the God. When we say don't judge by appearances, the appearance of somebody is the outer thing that you're looking at always. You have to look past that outer and see inside. And know that even if the person is not acting the way you think that they should, they are still God. So it's always God meeting God. It's always God talking to God. You can't be talking to anybody else but God. See, that's all there is. Please get your mind to accept that any way you can. You have to work on that. Till your mind finally accepts that. That is that illusion again with the mind, that it does not want you to know that. It doesn't want you to know that because it's afraid if you know the truth, what will happen? What will happen to that little ego and so forth that's going on inside of you? And again, last month we talked about the trap, and one of the traps is falling for your own mind, thinking that you are your mind. Don't do that. Analyze what's going on. Know thyself. Do all the exercise work you can to bring yourself to that belief. That is all we're ever doing, is trying to stretch our belief, trying to see things differently. And we can only see things differently once we change our minds about something. Because you're seeing with your mind, not with your eyes. That's why we do not judge by appearances. I told you this story years ago. A lady in Unity was 80-some years old, and she said, I had a very difficult time seeing the divinity in people. She said, some people just act like rotten son of a bitches. But she said, I was able to see through that and see the divinity, because we're always separating the act from the actor. We abhor an act. We do not abhor the actor. That's why, and I'll use this extreme example, a murderer. We don't hate the murderer. We hate the act that the murderer did. You see. So you must even see the God in that person. So we're always looking to see the God in people, or see the divinity in people. And please do that. Know that you are gods in the making. You have that seed that we talked about last week inside of you. Let it grow. Before I get into the topic, while I'm talking about that, I was talking to a client of mine that I have in New Jersey. And I said to him last night when I was finished with his consultation, I said, take the time now, John, to realize, you know, to take advantage of this situation or this holy thing that we're in at the present moment. This is Holy Week for a great many people. And this year, Passover and Easter are coinciding with each other. I think I've told you this before. The Christian thing called Easter is determined by, it's always the first Sunday in the first full moon of the spring equinox. It is a pagan holiday. You see, the Christians, when they wanted to convert the pagans, they took over that holiday. And they made it a Christian holiday so that the pagans would join with them. But what I'm trying to point out here, here is a wonderful thing with Easter coming up, whether you're religious, not religious, whether you're Jewish, Buddhist, Christian, it doesn't matter. In consciousness at the present moment, and this is when you can use collective consciousness, when you can use race mind to your advantages, there is something going on. So why not use that and realize that at Easter, a new spirit is being born within you. And say that to yourself, a new spirit is being born in me. Or a right spirit is being born in me. And try to see that, try to feel that feeling. Because the pagan realized that there was something wonderful about spring. The earth gave back one more time. Things started to grow. So know inside of you that something is growing. A new idea, a new belief, a new opinion. Get rid of something old. Why do you think at Easter time everyone dresses up in new clothing and so forth? Because they're putting on a new life. And that's what you want to use in your own life. All these things, and I don't abide by any of these things except when they help me. You see? I'm not going to go to church on Easter Sunday. In fact, I'll probably never go to another church in my life. You know, I'm completely burned out with churches and the complete, utter twaddle that they talk. Twaddle.
What does that mean?
I know what twaddle means.
Maybe I don't.
Do you? Sue knows. She's already laughing. So,
it's an animal to you.
See what these things are doing and what they're saying and what. And Paula earlier tonight said she was in the church and they were talking about Moses and out of Egypt. Well, they were reading the Bible literally. You can read the Bible literally, but we don't do that because we are raising up in consciousness. We read the Bible metaphysically. So we realize that Moses was taking his people out of bondage. And you represent Moses in your own life, in your own mind, and you're taking yourself out of Egypt, which is all the confusion, all the lower qualities in your mind. You're relieving yourself of those things. So you have to see that and do it metaphysically if you want to be a metaphysician, if you want to improve your life. Otherwise, those stories have been told for 200,000 years and nothing is being done about it. It hasn't helped one person, one iota. So all this stuff is done by you, with inside of you, and you have to use your mind. What we are teaching here is mind and mind alone. Although it's always going to be a God-oriented teaching, we are not teaching about God. We are teaching about you. We're teaching about your mind and how your mind works. How your mind works. People say to me, how do you know what I'm thinking? How do you know this, Dallas? How do you know that? I have a mind. And I know if my mind works that way, your mind has to work that way also. So I have been through all those things in mind. I have come from the lower level and worked inch by inch myself up in thought to a better place of living. I could have stayed down there, which we could call the gutter if you want, and I could have lived out this life, but I would have not have been happy, and I would have been doing all kinds of crazy things. But if you work with your mind, you can train your mind to think the thought that you want to think. And that is the most important thing that you can learn on this plane of action. This plane of action is not getting all the toys, making all the money. You cannot take any of the things with you that you have accumulated here. When I look around my house, I say to myself, I'm just borrowing these things. They belong to somebody else before I had them, and they'll belong to somebody else after I go. But I do what I call stewardship with them. I take care of them for the next person. I take care of them. I never abuse any of my stuff. I take care of it because I know it's going to pass on. It will outlast me on this plane of action. So it will go to somebody else. So we think of this thing. Now, this is April, and all during April, we're going to talk about joy. So that's the title. Now, if you will read this and pass it.
I affirm life. I am filled with the joy of living.
I affirm life. I am filled with the joy of living.
I affirm life. I am filled with the joy of living.
I affirm life. I am filled with the joy of living.
I affirm life. I am filled with the joy of living.
I affirm life. I am filled with the joy of living.
I affirm life. I am filled with the joy of living.
I affirm life. And I'm filled with the joy of living.
I affirm life. And I'm filled with the joy of living.
And I affirm life. And I am filled with the joy of living. What does that mean? How many people today affirm life? Or do you sit around worrying about being unemployed, not having a job, not enough money? Do you think of all the negative things that are going on? Or did you think of all the positive things? And did you say to yourself, isn't this a wonderful life? There may be all these little nits and fleas around here, but I know that I can handle them. So you have to keep affirming life. You have to be life-affirming. And usually we're not. We're very negative about life. We not only take life for granted, we take it as a struggle. We take it as seeing all the problems in life. If you focus on all the problems in life, that's all you're ever going to have. That's all you're ever going to have, are the problems. Many people believe that that's what life is all about, all the stress and struggle and strain. It is not about that. Do not concentrate on those things. Concentrate on this thing called joy. And how do we concentrate on joy? All these qualities that we talk about, joy, happiness, all this is within inside of you. And you have to bring that up. You have to keep saying that to yourself, doing something about that, till you start to feel joy. When I was a child, I think they used to sing in our church, "I feel joy deep in my heart." Do you remember that song? Deep, deep in my heart, I feel joy. And that's what you have to do. Is feel joy inside of you. And you do that by manufacturing that yourself. See? So the whole idea of being on this plane of action, why you decided to incarnate on this plane of action, was to discover something about yourself. And what were you trying to discover? Well, not only that you are part of God, that you are God's in the making, but that this thing is a wonderful experience, this thing called life. And you have to be joyful for it. You have to say, I am delighted to be alive. I am filled with joy. And then fill your life with joy. Look out and see joy all the time. Now, that does not mean that you have to have tons of money or any of that stuff to be able to do that. Can you not see a flower? Can you not see a tree? Can you not see beautiful things all around you and fill yourself with this joy? We are not only miracles, we live in a miracle. We live in an absolute miracle. When you look at, especially at this time of the year, when you see all the new life coming back, when you see all the beautiful flowers going on, isn't it wonderful? Can't you say, oh, I'm filled with joy and happiness about all of this? And that I am part of this? I am part of this whole thing? This is the way you have to do it, to bring it into your life. So we're not here talking about worshiping God and all. If you want to worship God, please go to a brand name church. I'm sure they'll take you in. God does not need worship at all. God is far and above that. Remember, God is always above thoughts and words, above worship of any type. That you cannot affect God by that. But you can affect yourself. How many people here today said something kind to themselves? How many people here worship themselves and said, geez, how great I am. Thou art great. Yes. You have to do that for yourself. Why? The highest form of worship you can give God is to love yourself, because you are God, or all that you are is God, or whatever else God is me. Whatever else God is me. You have to know that. So you have to know that the life and all the things that's going through you, this life that you think is yours, is the life of God, individualized as you. Individualized as you. Now, you put on the personality, you do all the rest of it, but that's choices again. You're making choices in your life. So you're always creating yourself. So how do you want to create yourself? You see? It's always going to boil down to this. We're teaching mind here, and we're teaching your mind here. And even though we live, move, and have our being in the mind of God, we're each individualized in that mind. And the main thing that we have is choice. How do I want my life to be? How do I want my thinking to be? Do I want to feel joy all the time? Can I feel joy all the time? Absolutely, you can. It is a choice. It has nothing to do with what is going on. I could be very downed today because I don't like cold weather. And I could be disgusted because I wanted to be in my garden. All those things. But that's a choice, you see. I can choose right out of it. I would prefer that the weather was hot. But I'm certainly not going to let cold weather put me in a foul mood. Only I can do that. I cannot blame it on the weather. I cannot blame it on somebody else. I can never say in my life again, you caused me to do that. Or this caused me to do that. You're always the cause onto your own experience. You are causing what is happening to you by your thinking. So you have to straighten out your thinking. And the main thing to straighten out your thinking is the idea that you are not worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. You have to get those things into your thinking, and they have to become the premise from which you work. Always, this is who I am, you have to say to yourself. And why am I that way? Because I know that I am worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that I matter. But it has nothing to do with anything on the outside of life. Nothing to do with anything on the outside of life. Once we realize that, then you can feel this joy all the time, because you are the one that's taking the responsibility for your life. You see? And many people get upset when they hear the word responsibility. They say, I can't do that. There's nothing. It's not a great big deal, people. It's not a big deal to say, I caused that. I'm not going to blame that on anybody else. I'm certainly not going to blame it on my parents. You see? Which is the biggest scapegoat in the world. If you want to get out of anything, say, oh, my parents caused me to do that. That's why I'm the way I am. You're the way you are because of your thinking. No other reason in this whole wide world. So if you go down, if you think about it, you see, you only have ever one thing to change. Only ever one thing to change. It can never be overwhelming. One thing to change, and that's your mind. And that's your mind. That's why we use that expression, change your mind, change your life. And it sounds very simplistic. And it is simplistic. Is it difficult? It requires effort. It requires effort to keep your mind changed. Because the mind likes to always take the road of least resistance. It always will slip back in there because there's a rut in your mind and in your thinking, and it loves to slip right back into that rut. I often go to get my thing out of the rut. I just hit my head, you know, and jerk it out of there. You have to do these things, otherwise your mind will turn in on you, and once again, your mind is very convincing, and it will convince you of something that you don't want to be convinced about. So life is always an inside job. An inside job. It's always from the inner to the outer. And if you look around and you observe something, last summer I was home and my great nephew, very intelligent young boy, but he has moods. He gets moods. And the parents say, well, his father's that way. And his grandparents say, oh, well, his father's that way. They're not one bit concerned. But he is getting into these moods and he's missing his life. You see. He's missing part of his life. Emmett Fox said, if there's one thing to teach a child, teach him that it's a mental world they live in, meaning that it's your mind that's causing it. But he does not know that yet, so he thinks it's something on the outside of life. And his parents back him up in that by saying, you're just like your father. So if that boy isn't saved now, will he ever be saved? Not unless he comes, talks to me or somebody else. He'll never be saved. No, he'll be moody the rest of his life, and people will say he's just a moody person. And he's a delightful person. He's an intelligent person. But you see, intelligence has nothing to do with anything. Intelligence has very little to do with things, because the most intelligent people I know cannot change their minds. You have to be flexible. You have to be able to change your mind. That is the biggest thing that you can do for yourself, is to say, I am flexible. Remember, instead of having a viewpoint, have points to view. Anytime you have a viewpoint, you've narrowed yourself down into something. I can look at all these points. You don't have to settle on anything. There's a vast amount. Remember, we live in a world of possibilities. We move in a field of complete possibilities. So don't ever come to conclusions and narrow yourself down. Then we put ourselves back into that mental prison and we think we have the answers to all these things. So, learn that it is your mind that is doing everything. And when your mind wants to convince you that that's not so, you have to sit yourself down and say, it is. This is the truth. My mind is causing this. My mind is causing this. I was out with a friend today, and she said, you know, I was so depressed I had to go to the doctor and get something like that. But she said, you know, I had to stop taking it. It made me feel suicidal. Well, they tell you that probably, but the thing is, instead of gulping a pill, sit down and change your mind. Change your mind. Feelings always follow thought. That is an equation that will never change. There is no changing that equation. It's just like 2 and 2 is always going to equal 4. Feelings are always going to follow thought. So if you're having a feeling that you don't like, you have to change the thought. Now, they appear to come differently because sometimes they're simultaneous and you don't catch that. But if you change your thinking, your feelings will change. They have to change. Sometimes that's difficult because the mind, once you start down that spiral, your mind will keep taking you down there and it will keep giving you the ammunition that you need to build up your case. If you start out with that premise that I am no good, your mind will prove it to you. It will take you down that path. If you start out with what? I am worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that I matter. You make all the difference in the world. With that, let's do the matter dance. I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I really, really matter. Yeah. So here when we do that, I see a lot of smiles come up in people, and you like that because you're sending not only that message through your whole body, you're sending life through your whole body. And here again, if you want to feel joy and stuff, get up and move about, do something. Get that life force inside of you moving. If you just stay stationary, it doesn't work. You have to know that you're alive inside. And then you can start feeling this thing called joy. And isn't it a wonderful idea to be filled with joy all the time instead of the rest of this? Who wants to be on this plane of action, let's say 100 years, and never feel joy and always feel that it's stress, struggle, strain, sacrifice, and all this? What is the purpose of that? Have you grown in any way with all this stuff? You know? Worry, you won't grow from worry. You don't grow from any of that stuff. But start feeling joy and you'll start growing. Things will happen to you. You'll see things differently. Your whole life will change. You'll be happy for a change. You see? Happiness is a choice. Joy is a choice. What did Abraham Lincoln say? Most people are as happy as they make up their minds to be. You have to make up your mind to be happy. To be happy. So it boils down to Emmett Fox. It's a mental world we live in. And we're causing the world that we live in with our thinking. So start to think joy. How many people think that they can't feel joy, that they can't be happy and so forth? Take it with you. I was taught you can only be happy some of the time. You can't be happy all the time because you have to feel the other side of the coin. Well, I think that's a bunch of bunk, you know. In order to be happy, you have to feel sadness. Why? I don't like that feeling. I don't want it. You see? And it's my thinking that's doing that. You see? But we're taught that you have to feel better, you have to feel worse first, you're saying. Why? Why do I ever want to feel bad? Why do I ever want to feel sick or anything? What do I gain from sickness? What do I gain from sickness? Absolutely nothing. You know, 30 years ago when the AIDS thing hit, I used to go every week, at least one, two, maybe sometimes three, funerals. And of course, some minister would stand up there and say, oh, they fought. They were so courageous. They fought and this. What's so courageous about that? The person dead, for Christ's sake. What is this? We do that same thing with cancer and all. Oh, they really fought. They were so courageous with that fighting. Why don't you be courageous and not get the disease in the first place? And then I would say, boy, that person's courageous. He didn't go down the same road as all the rest of the people. He chose a different way to think and a different way to go down the highway. You see, you can sit in these metaphysical classes up one side and down the other, but you've got to change your mind about disease and about what the world tells you the world is about. The world is not about disease. It's not about poverty. It's not about limitation of any type or form. But we still let that filter through. And we still think, oh yes, people get sick, people do this, people do that. Well, people do that. Do you have to do it? That is their belief system. That is their belief system. See, I stay away from people my age because they immediately start to talk about getting old and what's happening to them. Well, at the present moment, nothing is happening to me. And I plan on that going on for a long time. I'm not saying, oh, at this age now I have to do that. I told you the story about when I go for an x-ray, some kind of an x-ray, and the woman said to me, the x-ray technician, well, how many operations have you had? I said, I have none. I had none. She said, how old are you? At that time I was 65. I said, I'm 65. She said, And you're telling me you never had an operation? I said, no, I never had an operation. She thought I was lying to her. So apparently, when you reach 65, you've had an operation of some sort. You do not have to go that route. You do not have to go that route. So back to this thing about joy. You can be joyful all the time. Because you see miserable people, or you live with miserable people, you pick up on that thought atmosphere and you start to become miserable. Don't do that to yourself. It is a choice. If those people want to be miserable, let them be miserable. Let them be miserable. But not in your presence, tell them. I just won't have that. I won't have any negativity around me. Remember, Maya Angelou, Lou, said, if somebody's in her house and they're negative, she says, oh, please, you'll have to go outside because I will not allow that to get into the walls of my house. Maya Angelou, you know. Oh, geez. Well, wasn't she America's poet? Yes. What's that called? Lariat. Lariat. Yes, she's a grandmama. I'd love to see her talking all. I love all that. She wrote The Cage Bird Cage Sings. The Cage Bird Never Sings. Okay. Yeah. Wonderful writing and so forth. And here again, she's filled herself with joy and with happiness and done a lot of things. And let's look at her life a moment. She was a prostitute. I have nothing against prostitution, by the way. I don't know why everyone so gets all upset about that. But she decided she could be something else. She decided she could be something else. Tons of stories like that around. And remember, if these people can do it, you and I can do it also, because this thing called God never shows favorites. What God has done for one, God has done for all. And that's what you must remember. But our minds like to tell us, no, that person is better off than we are. That person's more talented than we are. That person's better looking than we are. All those outside appearances again. Don't do that to yourself. We're not interested on the outer side of life. We're interested on what's going on the inner side of life. Why? Because the inner side of life you're going to take with you. The outer side of life you're not going to take with you. I've never known anyone to be able to take a body with them. Now we have examples of it, which they say people have ascended in the physical form. I haven't seen it. So until I see it, I'm going to be just a little bit skeptical about that. You know? But if they can do it, all well and good, then where would they go? They'd be hovering around someplace. You know, well, think about it. Where would they go? They just hover around. You don't want that. Learn to enjoy this life that you're living right now. Know that it's the best thing that ever happened to you. It's the greatest gift you could ever be given. So don't take it for granted and don't put it down all the time. Be life-affirming about it and say, bring on more. I love this thing called life. And all these things that our mind tells us are problems and so forth, don't look at them as problems. Say, if they come into my life, they came into my life for me to solve them. You know, when I was diagnosed with AIDS, I remember what my father said. He said, Dallas, God will never give you a burden you cannot handle. Never give you a burden you cannot handle. And I'm handling it quite well. And I've been handling it for 20-some years. So, think of those things. If you have a problem in your life, say, I've been given this problem because I know how to solve it. And then start to solve it and see that it's going to take you someplace else. Problems don't come into your life to hinder you. They come into your life for you to solve so that you can move to a better stage in your own life. God is always moving forward. You are always moving forward. You're always moving from your good to your greater good. You're always moving from glory to greater glory, and you must know that. And you know that when you start not judging by appearances. If something big is in front of you and you think it's a big problem, now here we'll go again and we'll do metaphysical work with the Bible. What does that mean? That problem in front of you is Goliath. Who are you? David. What do you have? A slingshot. And Goliath falls down. But now, why did Goliath fall for David when Goliath didn't fall for the armies? Because David had no fear. You see a great big giant, you see a great big problem, and you immediately go into the fear mode. Now you don't have any weapon to fight with because you're loaded with fear. Take the fear out of the equation, and Goliath will fall every time. You know, remember the bully on the playground was just huffy and puffy. If you stood up to the bully went away. But if you don't stand up to your problems, you don't stand up your things, and you start to shriek and so forth, and shrink and all that kind of stuff, it's not going to work. So, think of Goliath in front of you. Any problem you have is Goliath in front of you. And you are David with a slingshot, and you can overcome anything. You can overcome anything. And the bigger the object is, the faster you can overcome it. Well, we get frightened all the time. We get frightened all the time. I have more clients that come to me, and they're always overwhelmed with this problem, and that, what am I going to do? How am I going to start? And all. And they see the great big thing, what? As a Goliath or an elephant in front of them. And how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. How do you do anything in your life? One thing at a time. Just start. Remember the Chinese proverb? A journey of 1,000 miles starts with one step. If you say, I'm going to walk 1,000 miles, your mind is going to say, oh, no, you're not. You're never going to do that one. And you won't do it. But if you say, I'm going to take a step, your mind is, okay, you can take a step. Then you take another step, and then you take another step. And before you know it, the whole thing is accomplished for you. And you have done that. Never look at the whole picture. Take it a little at a time, and before you know it, you'll have the whole picture, and it'll all be done for you. That's how I stopped smoking. That's how I stopped anything in my life. One little step at a time. If I said to myself, I'm going to stop smoking forever, my mind would have said, oh, you nuts, I'll show you. So what did I say? I'm choosing not to smoke this moment. And I moved into the next moment, and I chose again. And then I moved into the next moment, and I chose again. And I got rid of a 4-pack-a-day habit. But it's one step at a time. Don't let the world overwhelm you. You're more powerful than that. One thing at a time. So start with this thing called joy. Find this thing called joy. You know, for years when that Joseph Campbell talked about bliss, I had no idea what that was. I thought, what the hell's he talking about? Find your bliss, find your bliss. What did I think? Does that mean, you know, what does that mean? Find your bliss. Well, it means joy. It means happiness. It means what makes you alive inside. But you have to start with this idea of joy. You have to make yourself feel joy. If you're not, you're cheating yourself. You're going to die. I never have felt it or never been satisfied with yourself. So instead of worshiping God, start to worship yourself and start to tell yourself how great you are. See? Start to feel those different things. You know? Start to recognize how wonderful you are. Start to recognize the qualities that are within you. And start to know that one of those qualities is joy, and you would like to experience that, and then start to experience that in the small, simple things in life. You see? There's a lady who wrote a book called Simple Abundance. And it was about look around and see all the little things in your life that fill you with joy. It's not the big things that fill you with joy. It's the little things that fill you with joy. You know. Don't you love to watch a hummingbird? Doesn't that fill you with joy and all? Yes. Well, then look out for hummingbirds. Look out for those wonderful things. You see, I love hummingbirds and flowers, and I love all those things, and they fill me with joy, and then I try to keep that joy going. And when I go inside, I look like, oh, well, that's joyful, and this is joyful, people are joyful. Till you get that feeling going on inside of you, so that you really do feel alive. Otherwise, we're just plodding through life, just looking around. Why don't most people feel joy? Because they're afraid to. Most people are playing it safe all the time. Life is not a safe thing, people. It's a risky business. And you have to take that risk. You have to take that risk. And remember, you're never a failure. Something you try to do may fail, but you're never a failure. You're never a failure. Earlier, Danny was using Winston Churchill's never, 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 never give up. And that's what you have to do, is you never give up on these things. You just keep on trucking till you make what you want. So, remember, Thomas Edison took him thousands of experiments before he came to the light bulb, before it worked for him. And what did they ask him? Didn't you get discouraged? He said, no, I just discovered one way that it wasn't working. One way that it wasn't working. And he kept on going. And we give up three strikes and we think we're out, you know. If you're into that baseball vernacular, don't be into any of those things. Keep on doing it. Keep on asking. You can accomplish what you want in life. Don't give up. I think one of the problems that we have is we think everything should be instant and so forth, and that would be absolutely wonderful, but what you fail to realize is that there's no time in the mind of God. There's only the now in the mind of God. And most of us never lived in the now. Why don't we live in the now? Because we allow our minds to jerk us out of the now all the time. You're sitting here thinking what you're going to do when you get home, or what you're going to do tomorrow morning, or have you forgot to turn the iron off or something. Your mind has just jerked you out of this room and put you someplace else. You did not, you missed the now. And you have to be able to stay in the now. And in the now is where you will find the joy. So learn to see that when your mind says, come back here. Come back, come back, come back. That Raymond Charles Barker that I used I often tell you about, who had the big church at Lincoln Center, he would be talking, giving one of his talks and so forth, and he would sort of ramble off someplace. And he would say, coming back now. And he would bring his mind back. Coming back now. And that's what you see. That's training the mind. It wants to, coming back. Bring it back. Coming back to the now and learn to stay in the now. Nothing can hurt you in the now. All creativity is in the now. And the point of all power is in the now. You can't create anything if you're not in the now, because that's where the power is. So if you can stay in the now and find the joy, you take it to the next moment. One thing at a time. So when your mind is taking you, oh, well, what am I going to do next year? What if this, whatever it is, doesn't happen? You see, you've taken yourself out of this wonderful thing we call the now. You have missed your life. You have missed your life, and you have allowed your mind to do that, to take you somewhere else. Stay in the now and find that joy for yourself. Start thinking about yourself. I think that another wonderful thing, trap, we'll go back to last month when I talked about trap. One of the things that the mind has learned to do because of race mind and almost every institution, They've told you that you must worship this thing called God. Don't worry about yourself. Let's worship God. Let's do this, that, and the other thing. When I was in the Boy Scouts, it was God first, others second, and self third. And I'm telling you in this teaching, it's self first, others second, and God third. See, God doesn't know that it's third, nor does God care about what place you put it. God wants you to come to the realization that you are one with it, that you are God manifest on this plane of action, and that you can be filled with joy and happiness and fulfillment all the time. You say, but the world loves to take your focus and put it someplace else. And it puts it outside of you usually because it wants you to worship God, which is usually their eyes go up because God has to be up there somewhere. You see? And I'm telling you, God is right here, right now, present inside of you and all around you. So learn to love yourself. And that way you worship God. If you don't like yourself, how are you going to like God? How are you going to like God? It's not going to happen. So start loving yourself. Start accepting yourself exactly the way you are. And fill yourself with joy. Stay in the moment. Stay in the moment. And you're trying to demonstrate something and it's not demonstrating for you. I'm going to tell you, because you're not in the moment. Power is only in the moment. It's not yesterday. It's not tomorrow. It's not 15 minutes ago. It's not 15 minutes this way. It's only in the now. That's why we call God a living God. It lives in the now. So it lives in the now. So learn to live in the now. Train your mind to keep you in the now. I have a few cards. If you will make the improved feeling or emotion be your real destination, then anything and everything that you want will quickly follow. If you will make the improved feeling or emotion, it's all done in your mind, it's all done in consciousness, and the improved feeling and the approved emotion is the mental equivalent that you are putting into your mind. It's not, oh, I want money, I want money, I want money. No. It's, how will I feel? How will this make me feel? What emotion can I change so that I have a corresponding mental equivalent for what I want out in life? Okay? So, if you will make the improved feeling or emotion be your real destination, then anything and everything you want will quickly follow. See? Improve your thinking. Our work is to bring more and more of God's ideas into the concrete manifestation upon this planet. God can only do for you what it can do through you. You are here to do God's work. You are here to do God's work. Bring more and more God ideas into concrete manifestation. Learn to think God thoughts after it. There's always a third way of thinking. And the world only teaches two ways of thinking. The world teaches it's either black or white, it's either yes or no. And I'm telling you there's a third way. And that third way is a God way. Because God always sees that balance returns to everything. That harmony returns to everything. And a yes and no in a black and white world do not bring harmony into anything. Remember the black and white, the yin and the yang, that wonderful symbol? But that way, if you take that wonderful symbol, it's not black and white ever. It has to turn. And as it turns and spins, it becomes gray. and it becomes in harmony with everything else. No such thing as black and white. There's no such thing as yes and no. There's such thing as God. If prayer is a force at all, it cannot be possible to pray without something happening. You get it? You have to know that when you pray, there's a force going on. And it's possible. You know? If prayer is a force at all, it cannot be possible to pray without something happening. And you have to know that that's the force. But you have to stay in the moment while you're doing that. But it is a force prayer. We call it treatment. You can call it anything you want. These are just words, by the way. Pardon? Treatment is the same as prayer. When you treat for something, you want something, you treat for it, you pray for it. Yeah. Man being a manifestation or expression of God has a limitless destiny before him. Aha. Man being manifestation or expression of God. We're expressions. We're manifestations of God. And if we're manifestations of God, we have that quality within us that everything, we are limitless beings. Limitless beings. It's the world that teaches you that you have limitation. And it's your own mind that tells you that you have limitations. When your mind tells you that you have a limitation, once again, you must do what Mary Baker Eddy said. You must argue with it like a lawyer before a judge, and you must make sure that you win. You must always win. You are the master of your mind, and you must take that role. And you must become the master. If you don't, your house will burn down. See? Be the master of your own thinking. In short, we have to train ourselves to look to God. Cause. For all that we need. And then, the channel, which is entirely a secondary matter, will take care of itself. The channel, which is a secondary matter, channels are always secondary causation. God is always first cause. So if you want money and you're treating for money, you're treating for a secondary causation. You must treat first to know that God is your source and your supply. And the secondary causation will follow first cause. I hope I get that across to you. You must always make the distinction between first cause and secondary causation. And most people cannot make that. They make secondary causation first cause. And if you make secondary causation first cause, you can only get as much as secondary causation is able to give you. But first cause, which is God, can get you everything that you want. Can get you everything that you want. So always go to God first. You go to your job for money, and you think the job is first cause, but the job is secondary causation. God is first cause, which opened that channel to give you that job. Does that make sense to you? Uh-huh. So God is always first cause and always first cause in your life. Now, we'll go one step further tonight. You must know that God is always first cause. Now, if God is always first cause and you are one with God, and that you are a God in the making, and that you are creative, and that your mind and God's mind are one in the same mind, then what is your mind? First cause. Your mind is first cause. Make sense? Yes. So, train this mind to do what you want. The gift has already been given. You have been given the wonderful gift of mind. You have been given the wonderful gift of imagination. Use it. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I. And therein's the lesson. Thank you.
Thank you.